98% pure potato.
98%
pure potato. Welcome to the latest podcast from 98% Pure Potato. Back to John Griffiths speaking this time, one of the authors of the book 98% Pure Potato, the book about the origins of account planning. Last week I was at a rather unusual conference in Oxford, which included, amongst other things, a dinner at Christ Church College, which is, if you've never been there, a bit like sitting in Hogwarts for real. And it was a conference about preaching. And it had gathered some of the most distinguished preachers in the country. The Chancellor of St. Paul's, the Rector of St. Martin the Fields, and the there was a Dean of somewhere or other. But basically these are people who are the best preaching communicators in the country. They may not be able to do 2 hours on Wembley Arena stage, but in terms of holding a congregation in a cathedral, these people are the best at doing this job. And I was very struck by what the Bishop of Chelmsford, Stephen Cotterill, said when he quoted something from over in the States, which goes along the lines of this: if they ain't heard it, you ain't said it. If they ain't heard it, you ain't said it. Which he applied in the context of sermons, that whatever you think you may have said, the people listening to you may take something entirely different out of it. And that immediately made a connection for me, because it is one of the two main outputs of 98% Pure Potato that I hope you will get from reading the book. And it's this: that we need to focus on customer response rather than messaging and the inputs. And what I want to do in this podcast is to take that line, if they ain't heard it, you ain't said it, and to explain why it's so important, and to give some evidence for that in terms of the way in which Stephen King and Stanley Pollack developed the planning discipline at the very start to focus on outputs rather than inputs. Now, the earliest evidence we have for looking at this customer response focus comes actually several years earlier than 1968, when planning was formally started, but back in 1964, when Stephen King was working in the marketing department. And as part of the interviews for the book, I was able to interview Jeremy Bullmore, who was made up to a creative head in 1964 and had therefore a lot to do with this form of thinking when it developed, because he in effect was coming to creative leadership, and so therefore what he was doing and what Stephen King was doing in marketing overlapped. And he described it as the working of two very similar minds, not necessarily collaborating, but thinking along very similar lines. What Stephen King designed and put out in 1964 was something called the T plan, the target plan. And that was a brand template which was produced for every account which J. Walsh Thompson had. And rather than this process of briefs continually being produced that we have today, the T plan would pretty much stay the same. And the creatives who were regularly assigned to a piece of business would know the T plan very well, and they would evaluate what they were asked to do against the current version of the T plan. The bits of the T plan that I want to draw your attention to is the sensory, emotional, and rational outputs, because that's what it was built around. How the brand makes you feel, the emotional output. How the brand looks and sounds, or feels, or tastes, which is the sensory output. And what you believe about the brand, what beliefs the brand instills in you or reinforces. And those three things were worked through in some detail. T plans were sometimes on a single page, but usually not. But the point that Jeremy Bullmore makes is that because it's focused on outputs, if you've decided that a hot air balloon is going to produce the output you want, then that's fine. That's what you can do. It was a much more open-ended system. So from his perspective, it was good news for the creative department, because it actually freed them to consider more things. Now, for a variety of reasons, which are mentioned in the book, this had moved on in the next 10 years. And what really replaced the T-plan was the planning cycle, which, if you go back two podcasts, I go into in some detail. And again, if you go and find that podcast, you will also find links which allow you to download the PDF so you can have a copy of the planning cycle as designed and written by Stephen King for yourselves. But what's interesting about the planning cycle is also how open-ended it is. It is focused on customer response. So instead of saying, what do we need to say to people? It's basically saying, where could we be in terms of how do we change the way in which people use this product or feel about this product or how this product is bought? So it's a very different way. And again, it opens things up and it liberates. Now, if we move across to Burrs Massimi Pollitt, that was starting a planning department at around the very same time. They seem to take a different approach. They call themselves a planning department, but they are known fairly soon for doing quite different things. And of course, what makes them most famous is that the process of creative pre-testing. Here's the rule. They never allowed any ad to come out of the agency unless it had been shown at concept stage to a real person, a real buyer or a real user of that product first. And the reason why that's important is it is also a focus on customer response rather than input and messaging. Because the kinds of questions that you are addressing to people, what you're asking these people to do is to process this idea at concept stage. And you're looking to see, can they make sense of it? Do they like it? Do they understand that it is an ad and how it works in relation to that product? Does it explain what the brand is up to? And does it reinforce that? And the thing here is that if you don't know what real people think of your product and your communications, then my suggestion is, if they ain't heard it and you don't know what they've heard, then you ain't said it. You don't know what you've said. You may have all the confidence you wish that you said the thing that you wanted to say, but you have no idea if they've heard it. So that's why feedback is the only way to find out. And it's interesting to me that BMP, in a different kind of a way, focused on people understanding a piece of advertising before they had the confidence that it was doing a job at all. Now, I know that there's a lot of skepticism about customer research, and you'll ask me the question, are customers reliable in terms of how they understand and decode communications? No, they are not. Are they useful? Absolutely. And the reason why this is important is because marketers and advertising people are too close to their product. We tend to be too close to what we want to say rather than to what people are actually hearing. So are we reliable? No, we're not. Is our thinking about it useful? Of course it is, but that's why it needs to be tempered by what they hear and not just what is being said. We need to remind ourselves that an awful lot of what people hear about a brand doesn't even come from advertising. It comes from usage, it comes from what other people say about it, it comes from news, what's out there in the culture. If you're a bank, it doesn't matter what you say, because what people are hearing is in part coming from the last 10 years of banking history, and as we know, there has not been a very good one. And so again, everything they hear will be in the context of what has been coming out of banking. So simply specifying messages doesn't get you off the hook. So before you decide what it is you want to say, you need to find out how they're likely to hear it. Otherwise, you simply don't know that it's been said. The final point I want to make here is that our current system of developing communications as a process tends to make us focus on inputs, and that closes down options because we are trying to be specific. We're trying to specify what needs to be done and to exclude things which take us away from it. What is very different about this way of thinking about advertising, if you focus on outputs, is that as long as you're clear about the output you want, you are giving the creatives absolute freedom in how they develop the stimulus which produces the output that you're looking for. It's a very different way of thinking, and one of the reasons why Tracy Follis and myself wrote the book was to remind people that this was how classic planning started, and we would argue that this is where planning needs to return. Thank you very much for listening.